Joining me now on The Breakfast Experience is the director of the Australian Italian Festival, Dr. Anne Vardaniger. A very good morning to you, and wow, exciting. Only 3 weeks to go, Anne.
Yes, only 3 weeks, and thank you for having me on the show this morning. Yes, only 3 weeks to the Italian Festival. Who'd believe it? In first weekend of June, it's all going to happen here.
Oh, well, there's a couple of Italians that are interested around this part of the world. You know, just a few of them came here to make a life and create some history, and this is what it's all about, sharing the fun and games of Italian culture and food and all that sort of stuff.
Absolutely. So that's what the festival is about, no, it's just... preserving some of those cultures around our Italian and other immigrants, actually, to North Queensland. And the majority of them came here to work in the sugarcane fields, from the 1800s on. So the Italian Festival has that really important job of preserving and reliving and enjoying that culture as well.
And what a fabulous venue. The Taito Parklands transformed into a huge piazza with non-stop world-class entertainment. This is a big gig you pull together here every year, isn't it? 27th year or something?
This is the 27th year. This is the first year as me as a director. This is my first festival, so it's very, I'm a bit nervous, but I won't say that.
You'll
but it's
right.
Amazing. The Taito Parklands is an amazing site. It's nature, and embedded into that nature will be, as you say, the entertainment, the traditional competitions, the food and the wine and the beers, the Italian drinks as well. So it's all going on. There's lots of entertainment for children. There's a kiddies corner. So it totally is transformed from this pristine natural setting into, as you say, a huge piazza with everything happening.
Vino and food, very important, very intrinsic to Italian culture. And you've got the regional dinner on under stars with food from different regions around Italy. Wow. I'm hungry thinking about it.
Yes, that's our first event. So that's on the 28th of May, and it coincides. So it's on the same evening. We start that evening with an exhibition opening at Saito Gallery, and that exhibition is actually tracing cane cutter history from an immigration point of view. So very important, just to reiterate or just revise where our roots are for the area. And then directly after that is that regional dinner, and each course comes from a different region in Italy, and it's very traditional food.
Now, the week coming up on the 24th, you've got Fortunato from Brisbane playing. You've got local artists. You've got traditional and contemporary music. There are tickets available. Where do we get tickets for that?
So the 4th is actually the Hair and Fashion Show.
Yep.
5th and 6th is a Carnivale in the park, and Fortunato will be appearing on the 5th and 6th.
Yep.
Tickets are available from Town for Tickets online, or if you're not able to order, if you're local and you're not able to order on the internet, then come into the festival office and we'll help you out there.
That's excellent. Now, we're going to touch base with you over next week and the week after as we lead into the festival, just to keep people's juices and interest happening. But what a fabulous weekend. Can't wait.
Oh, it will be fantastic. We're just hoping for fine weather, but that's all we need. And even if it's raining, we'll just party under under that liquid sunshine that we happen to have in North Queensland. It's going to be fantastic weekend.
All the W's, AustralianItalianFestival.com.au. There's information there. Anne, lovely chatting with you. We'll talk to you in the near future.
Thank you.
The director of the Australian Italian Festival, Dr. Anne Vardaniger, and as I say, we'll touch base with her next week and the week after as we lead up to that wonderful festival in our part of the world. This is The Breakfast Experience. Breakfast Experience. As you know, I like digging out people with titles that you go, rightio, what does that mean? I've got a conscious connection expert on the line. Karina Chapman joins me. Karina, lovely to have you on board.
Lovely to be here. Thanks for having me, Glenn.
I'm a hairdresser, not a psychologist. I think there'd be many hairdressers that relate to that.
They certainly would. I think just about all of them.
Why do you think people open up like a can when they come to the hairdresser?
Well, you know, we don't often let people come quite as close, and especially with, you know, the new 1.5 rule, there's not many people that we actually allow into our personal space now. Mm. So the hairdresser is not only in our personal space, but touching us and running their fingers through our hair. So suddenly the barriers are down that they don't even realise, and before they know it, they're blurting out all sorts of things that they didn't even mean to tell their hairdresser, but suddenly they can't stop
themselves.
They
just do, yeah. do you reckon hairdressers are to blame? Because they sort of encourage that, don't they? Especially, like, I mean, we're in small town pockets all over our broadcast area, and, you know, the local goss, what do you know about so-and-so? What's happening here?
Exactly. Well, I think that, you know, you do want to create a good connection between the hairdresser and the client. And hairdressers want to consciously connect with someone well so that they also like and trust them and want to come back and become a regular client. So that is the ultimate aim of a good hairdresser, is to keep having clients come back that she enjoys the company or he enjoys their company, and, you know, good connection as well as good clients. So, but suddenly, you know, there's a bit of a breach, and a lot of people are really struggling more these days, and there's an increase in domestic violence or trauma or depression, and suddenly this oversharing is starting to, you know, be a bit heavy on the hairdresser's shoulders, a bit more than what they're trained for, to be honest.
Particularly if they're a young apprentice who are doing other parts of the job for the main hairdresser, perhaps that might be misaligned, giving the information to a, you know, 16, 17-year-old. It's
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it could even be something as simple as an older lady who has just lost her husband.
Mm.
And they don't quite know how to deal with that. What do you say to someone that might be the first person that said that to you and confided, and it's a bit of a shock. So I think if they had a little bit extra training in that area, it would be easier for them to be able to be empathetic, you know, even when they're having situations where perhaps someone's sharing, you know, mental health issues or family relationship problems, instead of wanting to perhaps give advice, which we're ill-equipped to do. Training should be in the, you know, an empathetic response and connection, but also an ability to be able to share something helpful, like what are the local numbers for services that can help these people if they need them.
Karina Chapman's my guest. She's got a wonderful title. She's a conscious connection expert with 30 years behind her as a hairdresser. So who would have thought? Okay, welcome to Hairdressing 101. Firstly, we're doing psychology. I mean, when you think about it, the way the world's becoming bespoke and all this sort of hoo-ha and carry-on, it's not such a bad idea if we do a little bit of a brief idea of some of the psychological stuff we're going to have to deal with when we have our clients coming in for more than a haircut.
They sure do. They sure do. And I've even had medical issues that happen that you need to have some sort of training around. I had a client once actually at the front desk suddenly just dropped to the floor, passed out. And thank goodness we had wooden floors, so at least her head bounced when she hit it. But she was holding a glass, so that smashed everywhere. And we really had to spring straight into action and, you know, make sure she was, you know, okay, you know, find out if you could get a response, be on the phone to the ambulance, and also assure the other clients in the room that we've got it under control. So imagine if you had a couple of young hairdressers there and that situation happened, what would they do?
Well,
so that's traumatic for them as well.
Well, then you've got the onus on the business owner of you've got to have your staff trained in all these different areas. I mean, wait till I catch up with Carla, my hairdresser. I'm going to tell her I've got a whole new bent on what it means to be a hairdresser.
Exactly.
And when we talk like a couple of old chooks when we're there, we pass on gossip and make up stories and pass on rumours. We love it. And I'm not the only customer that does it.
That's right. And, you know, those sort of stories, it's really great. Like, that's really consciously connecting in a positive way, you know, sharing information, getting to know each other. But some people don't have close friends. You know, like, at the moment, 1 in 4 people are experiencing a higher level of loneliness than ever before. So people in the service industry are different people they can connect with, and sometimes they've got no one else to really share their deep, intimate problems with. And I can understand that, but still, a lot of hairdressers aren't sure how to respond to that. So if they had clarity on how to help their clients, then that would, you know, increase the connection in a positive way, retain clients, but also give some practical help to people if they really need it.
Well, I'm just going to leave it there while we move over to the rinse bowl and get ready for the tips. I really appreciate that. Karina, what an interesting insight. I think everybody listening, particularly girls, you know, we go to the hairdresser, but we need to stop and think about that sort of thing. So we need to walk in and ask the hairdresser, are you okay?
Exactly. I feel that with the hairdressers, if they increase the industry consciousness around the issue at the beginning of everyone's career, then we can have a different outcome for everyone.
That's a very important point. Marvellous. What a lovely title. Conscious Connection Expert, Karina Chapman. Very nice of you to spend some time with us and us with you. Thank you so much.
Lovely being there. Thank you so much. Thank you.